I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Be aware, Fox and his friends are not doctors or experts. Do not take these opinions as the gospel. Although they are highly intelligent, sexy, and influential, please think for yourself.
I want to thank the girls over at Socially Toxic Podcast for that little disclaimer. Thank you.
The military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war and dying for the bankers and elites. The medical-industrial complex does not care about us. They need us sick and weak so we can be patients for life. Stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to supply the elites with obedient workers and turn over as much profit as possible at our expense. Let's turn off the television. Put down the phone. Let's take our country back. Thanks for being one of us. You are listening to the Conspiracy Soldiers Podcast.
What were you going to say?
I was just saying, I don't really remember exactly who you are because I've been interacting with so many people, you know what I'm saying? So, but I'm just going to record it, and if I use it, I use it, you know what I mean?
No, for sure. I get what you mean in terms of, like, dealing with a bunch of people, especially through Reddit.
Right.
This conversation is masculinity versus femininity, what they are to you, and I believe you reached out as a straight, white, hyper-masculine male, or toxically masculine male.
Yeah,
no problem. That's perfect. I think we're going to have a good conversation. We should be pretty much right in line.
Okay.
And let's just see what it's about. So I'm going to hit the record button. It's going to give us a countdown of 3, 2, 1. And then after that, we're going to be, you know, the recording is going to go ahead and start.
All right, cool.
All right. Let's go 3, 2, 1. All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Civil Rhetoric. Today we have Joe with us here, or actually we'll go by Fox, which is what he has listed. What we're going to be discussing today is a topic that could be an uncomfortable conversation for some. We're going to be discussing what masculinity is and what femininity is. Now, this is going to be our own individual opinions. This has nothing to do with how the world sees it, because the world's a little topsy-turvy today. We'll go ahead and get it started. Joe, introduce yourself. Tell everybody where you're coming from. Plug your show, and then tell me what you think masculinity is.
All right. So my name's Fox. I got a show called Conspiracy Soldiers. I got a co-host also. Kind of comes around and goes sometimes. His name's Julio. We just talk about conspiracies and government overreach, fake news and stuff like that. Been doing it a couple years now.
Nice, nice. And government overreach, especially here in the States, has been a major problem. I know for myself personally, I live in a blue state. I'm in California. So when it comes to, in terms of government overreach, let's just say wherever you're at, it's going to be a little bit more severe here because people like to relinquish and give up their rights for whatever reason, for presumed safety, as they like to say.
Are you in a big city then, or?
Oh, yeah. I even have no issue with disclosing. I'm in the San Fernando Valley, which is about 10, 15 minutes outside of Los Angeles. The good thing is I am in a small city within the big city because a lot of people here tend to have, I would say, right-leaning ways of looking at the world. And that's pretty much in line with mine and my wife's point of view of things. Okay. I wouldn't say we're conservative by, you know, traditional standards. But when it comes to, like, policies and the effects, we're definitely more conservative liberal-leaning, I guess, when it comes to, like, policies on, you know, interfering in anyone else's life. I figure leave me the hell alone as long as I follow the rules and the law.
Right. That's kind of how I am. It's like, you know, I don't really get into politics at all because I think most of them are all crooked if they make it up there, you know what I'm saying? But...
Oh, for sure.
Like the libertarian standpoint, like keep your nose out of my business and your hands out of my pockets. That's the way I look at it, you know.
Yeah, I think that's more in line with what the American forefathers kind of saw, you know, for this country. They saw it as something that was supposed to be an opportunity at freedom. And this is the only place in the world, or actually the first place in the world, and now the only place in the world, while in certain pockets, that still allows for people to have that kind of right to have freedom. And that's why I respect everyone's right. So if someone has a right to say, I feel like I'm this, that's fine. It just doesn't mean that I have to go ahead and agree with your definition.
Right.
So, but it's their right to say it is how I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot more people that think like us than you realize. You know, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying like the news tries to kind of twist it and make it look a certain way, which, and social media also. I really don't think it's like that. I'm not falling for that. Because if you go out and just talk to people, you realize that it's not as crazy as it looks on the news and social media.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, I agree. I think people are people. It's just people get emotional, especially when it comes to like a topic that's quote-unquote a hot-button topic. You run into someone who's like, well, you know, I think the world should be this way. It's like, well, I disagree. It's like, well, now you're evil or you're racist or you're sexist or you're some kind of ist or ism. And when it comes to that, that's the only time that I get to the point where I was like, I'm not trying to tread on you. I don't feel that you need to go ahead and try to tread on me, you know?
Right, right.
Oh, so but, we'll go ahead and jump straight into the topic. What would you, Fox, consider to be a masculine person? I'm not even using male or female or anything in between apparently now. I'm going straight to just the words in itself and what it represents to you.
Masculine, I guess it just means that you stand up for what basically to stand up for your family. I think that's what it's about. You can look at the animal kingdom or like go back into it, you know, the old days where the man would go out and hunt and supply his family with food, and the mother would stay home and take care of the you know, the babies or the young ones and stuff. Or sometimes they would do it like as a village type of deal, you know, and maybe one of the elders would take care of the children and the women would go gathering and stuff. But I mean, to me, it's the man's job or the father's job to take care of his family.
I would agree with that. And the funny thing is, I could see why you would say that you're quote-unquote toxically masculine, because saying that in today's world, especially if you say it on social media or if you say that to a news reporter, you're more than likely going to get labeled that way because they're going to say, well, the world's evolved and time has changed. For me, I'm a 100% believer that if you're a man, if you're masculine, you need to be the leader and you need to take care of your family, because I don't really care about where or what people say or where the world goes. If there's ever a bump in the night, I hear something outside, I'm not going to be sending my wife out there to see
right.
what that is. That's 100% my responsibility to go deal with that. So I agree with that. Now, when it comes to femininity, how would you describe femininity?
Basically, to take care of the their children. You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of being broad, because, I mean, not everybody has children, but, I mean, I think that's one of the main traits that a feminine woman has. I mean, I know you're just saying masculine and feminine, but we both know what that means. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? It's a trait of a woman to take care of, you know, and they love babies and they love puppies, and it's just they just have that trait that they want to just take care of, you know, little creatures and stuff, you know? So, I mean, that'd be the first thing. There's a lot of things, I guess. But, like I said, I didn't really remember exactly what this show was about. So I'm not even prepared, you know, I'm just kind of spitballing it here and going with your questions, you know?
No, I get you. And the reason why I actually don't like people to prepare for a conversation or a topic like this is because if you come in prepared, it kind of it limits the actual truth that people tell.
Oh, yeah.
They try to find ways to clean it up and make it more socially palatable and things of that nature.
Yeah.
For me, the reason why I call these uncomfortable conversations is because it's something that's not openly discussed outside. And when it is discussed, it's kind of packaged in a way to make everyone feel great and not hurt anybody's feelings. The way I look at it, I accept everyone else's opinion on life and how they look at it and how they live it. I don't necessarily have to agree with everyone's opinion on life, with how they live it and how they look at it, but I accept the fact that it's their right and it's their freedom to form and kind of create the person that they've became. So like, you being unprepared is kind of perfect because it gets to like the kind of the core of things. Now, yeah. When it comes to femininity, I kind of see it as, I agree with you in terms of like the caring and the nurturing. That's just something that I think is kind of hand in hand. I do think that femininity as well as masculinity exists within both genders, both sexes. I think a man is masculine, or at least a man should be masculine. He should be raised that way. There is like a recent drop in testosterone, or actually there's been a steady decline in testosterone since I want to say it was the 70s or 80s. And I do think that that is by design with the American diet, the fact that we don't actually go outside and do stuff or do much anymore, save for a very, being in California, I think that's an ignorant statement. In other places, people actually go out, they work oil fields, they work pipelines. So yeah. They do still have that involvement, you know, with, you know, being a part of the infrastructure and a part of the world. And I do think that that aids in adding to masculinity. But I do think that the lifestyle that we have now, which is for the most part, we sit down, we click, you know, we sit down, we scroll, we don't really get out there. Finding someone that, you know, is actually active and exercises is rare. And even someone that is willing to take care of their child, you know, whether it be male or female, because people need to work. So then they have their kids in daycare and they're having someone else's, you know, life and ideas kind of imprinted into their children, especially when they send them to school nowadays. But, you know, that's definitely another topic. I think we would kind of go click hand in hand when it comes to your show and looking at the world in that way, especially in terms of conspiracy theories.
I mean, I'm in Ohio, by the way.
Okay.
Real close to the Michigan border, but I've been to California. I mean, I was born out there because my dad was in the military. I was also in the military, but I was born out there in Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very familiar with the area. By the way, thank you for your as well as your father's service. It is the entire reason why we have these rights and we continue to maintain them for the time being. It's because of people like you that go out and decide to fight for this country.
Oh, yeah,
no
problem.
I want to say I appreciate your service.
No problem, man. I like your hat, too.
Oh, yeah, it's funny. I got this hat in a couple different colors, and, like, at all the shows I do, I'm wearing one of these hats. So, like, it'll be on.
I got one almost just like that, except it's, like, OD green.
You got the green one? I have this one. I have a gray one. I do have a green one as well.
What brand is it? I got mine. I think I got mine from Freedom Fatigues.
This one's a flex fit. And okay. What I did was my wife actually sewed the patch on.
Oh, all right.
And then I just ordered the flag patch itself to put on.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% about that. Like, I have a couple of operator hats. Although I personally have never served, you know, it's just something that never crossed my line. My grandfather actually fought in the Korean War. I do have, you know, his old combat knife. So, like, I do have an affinity for the military. It's just that I'm an only child. My mom was like, no, that's not happening, because my father had passed when I was young. So they were like, okay, you don't do that. You don't need to go to the desert. And so they were just like, that's not going down.
Yeah, I get it, man. It's all good.
Yeah, so in regards to, I guess, where do you think that you formed your opinion on masculinity? Like, where did that come from?
The way I was raised, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, like a lot of people do, and mostly my grandfathers, both of them, and they were both just not exactly the same, but they were both hard asses in different ways. And I mean, when you spend, it's pretty obvious, if you spend a lot of time with your grandparents, you're going to be more conservative or old fashioned. You know what I mean? But my dad was like that too, so, you know. I guess it's just the way I was raised. So,
you know, Yeah. The funny thing is, I would say the same for me. I'm born and raised in California. However, my family in Arkansas, which was a little town called Camden, which is, of course, still there. I used to go there during the summers and help out on the farm. So I had that. And it's funny because although my father had passed early, I didn't have an opportunity to have too many, you know, great male role models, because my great grandfather, who was there, he was like literally taking animals to the slaughterhouse. So I grew up around like my great grandma, my grandmother, and my mother. And then out here in California, I did have my grandparents as well. So I think that's a reason why I kind of have. It's funny because, like, and I'll just be transparent, being black in California, and actually just being black in America, is almost like you're going to be Democrat, especially if you're female. And then having that kind of household, that Democratic mindset, it didn't allow for me to see positive male role models very often. My grandfather, though, he was the first black man to work at Kaiser here in Panorama City. He was the first black man to work at CSUN, which is Cal State University Northridge out here. And he worked two jobs. I remember seeing him come home because we moved in with my grandparents after my father passed, or they technically moved in with us. And seeing him basically come home at 4 or 5 a.m., grandma would wake up, make him food, he'd eat, and then he'd sleep for 20 to 30 minutes and then get ready to go to his second job.
Yeah,
so from that, I learned the grind, but it's an old school mindset. Like, my grandfather literally said, I want to say, maybe 120 to 200 words to me my entire life, because he was just a quiet guy. More than most of the time, he was just damn tired. So,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people kind of miss that nowadays, especially with, you know, you mentioned social media earlier. Social media is raising a lot of people nowadays.
Yeah, man. I know. My youngest is, she's about to be 18 now, but she's...
Oh, man.
She thinks, I think she doesn't think that I'm, she's kind of a little bit of a lefty, you know what I mean? She thinks I'm not sensitive enough, or, I mean, she'll probably grow out of it, you know. She's at that age where, you know, I don't know, I got five kids altogether, and she's my youngest, so.
Nice.
But when they're at that age, it's always something, you know what I'm saying? Like, they, you know, they find something they don't like, or they, you know, just cranky, hormones, whatever you want to call it. But
I would agree.
But she's farthest one to the left in my out of all my kids, and I think they do get it from, like, you know, now it's TikTok, but it used to be YouTube, and got all these influencers, and I mean, they're literally called influencers. So, I mean, that's what they're doing. They're influencing these young people to think a certain way, or be, you know. And they got to understand that if just because someone else has an opinion, that doesn't automatically become your opinion. You got to figure it out for yourself, you know.
I agree wholeheartedly. Actually, recently, as I mentioned, the reason why I'm awake this early is before I used to wake up at 4 a.m., you know, work out, get in the sauna, jog, do all that junk. Now I'm just awake because I have a 3-month-old. So it's like no sleep, and he's our first. But no, yeah. I can definitely see how that happened. I know for myself, I went to a high school out here called Grover Cleveland, which is a humanities magnet. And now looking back, at the time, I thought that learning about the humanities and accepting, because I do accept everyone, but like the way it was kind of framed was, if you don't accept this and you don't, you know, incorporate this into your life, you're the bad guy, you're the this. And I kind of see that that's the message that social media is playing, because no one's actually being active in changing anything. You know, for as hot as a topic as it is, you have an organization like Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter is obviously just a money grab, because there was no actual change implemented. The only thing that was done is it kind of just tarnished the reputation of hardworking black people out here in America. And what that does is it had all these companies like Nike and Reebok isn't that big anymore, but Target, Walmart, and they're putting up these little black flags to show that they're in solidarity, when these same companies have child labor in other countries, when these same companies pay their employees a non-living wage. But everyone's like, oh, yes, they're supporting the cause and they're for it. It's like, no, they're just finding another way to manipulate us. Corporations just want to go ahead and extract all the resources from us that they can, which is why this recent flu, our pandemic, caused for all the rich people to gather much more money and a lot of the middle class to be evaporated and erased. So I do think that social media is a tool, you know, and like you mentioned, they use a term like influencer. And I think what it does is it's influencing like a kind of a swap in mentalities between the two genders. Like you have men who were masculine, men who are masculine, who kind of get vilified. And then you have the men who are not masculine, who are then kind of propped up and said, like, this is the way you should be. Go out there and do this and do that, versus actually being active and doing something within your community as a whole.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's all by design too. Like you were talking about how that the school that you went to, the way they were kind of pushing that. But I think it was like back in the 50s and 60s, there was a intelligence operation where they moved in on the student councils, and they started pushing like a certain type of agenda. And I mean, they're doing that so much today on like you, me and you met up on Reddit. So you see how some of these subreddits are, where it's like somewhere around 60% bots and intelligence agents. You know what I mean? So that's been going on for a long time. So they were doing that at colleges, you know, back in person before they had the ability to do it online. But I forget the name of the program now. I got so many, you know, I'm into conspiracies and stuff. So I got so many operations and stuff like that I get them all mixed up anymore, unless I got it written down in front of me. I want to say Operation Northwoods, but I'm not positive.
I'll actually end up double checking that too myself, because I do know that there was massive infiltration done, and before they had a tool like social media, it was something that the government was able to implement through just basically putting in, you know, real bots, like humans that were there with an agenda behind what they were pushing. And you know, I do think that it has to do with that masculine feminine thing, because if you remove masculinity and you remove, actually, if you remove strong men from society, it makes it easier to kind of steer in the direction that you want it to go. And now when you look at like things like AI and things of that nature, like it's getting not necessarily scary, but it's getting troublesome, because we're just letting these things, we're allowing these things to happen, and we're allowing our government to do this to us, save for a few, you know, and I use the term patriot because that's kind of how I look at it. You have a few patriots who try to maintain that traditional way of life and those traditional values so that they do have the opportunity to implement their own mindset on their children, you know, whether it be for good or bad. But it's better than just having this kind of nebulous, I think the world works one way and it can't work any other way, you know, school of thought that's out there right now, where literally if you have a kid in school, literally if you have anyone out there online, if you say something that's counter to the popular narrative or the popular point, whether or not the populace agrees with it, you get shouted down. I mean, you get canceled, as they like to say. Like, right. Masculinity for a man gets you canceled, but masculinity now exemplified in a woman gets her propped up and called a girl boss and things of that nature.
Yeah, and you can look back through history all the way back to the Roman era or even before that. Anybody that did anything good was going against the flock, not following with the rest of the sheep. So, I mean, if it's been like that throughout all of history, why would it be? How do people not understand that? You know, you just gotta think for yourself. You can't just follow along with this narrative that they're pushing. But I mean, it's hard to get people to, if somebody's already set in their ways, it's hard to get them to change, and they would probably be saying the same thing about us. You know what I mean?
I would agree. And I mean, that's the benefit of being in America, is that it's 100% their right to be able to say that. It's their right to be able to feel that and believe that. It's just when the when the narrative is pushed so hard that it doesn't allow for a differing opinion, it reminds me too much of watching how things formed after World War One and became World War Two, where you had a country who literally was like so downtrodden and beaten, and they got blamed for everything. So what they ended up doing was saying, well, we'll create this nationalist movement, and we'll push it. And then by the time it gets too big, no one can shout it down. So you have something like, you know, Nazi Germany that occurs. And here, it's kind of the same thing, although it's a different, you know, end result. Like, hopefully no one's going to be using any gas chambers, but you do have it to where publicly people are being shouted down. They won't be able to find work later in life, and then they can't support themselves or their family. So we're kind of, in essence, putting them to death now. It's just through social ostracization for just their own personal opinion, you know, and that is the part that, to me, that's really scary.
Yeah, when you talk about people getting canceled, and I was going to say something earlier when you said being black, it's like you automatically have to be a Democrat. That reminded me of, it's not so much, it's kind of turning around lately. Like yesterday I was watching, I was in the garage drinking beer, and I usually listen to YouTube out there. And so some of the stuff that I watch on YouTube, certain things will just pop up. And the Ice Cube interview with Tucker Carlson popped up. And I'm like, wait, what's this? It's like 33 minutes or something. I'm like, yeah, I probably got time to watch this real quick. So I was listening to that. It just kind of reminded me of that when you said that. Because, you know, he's trying to be canceled, or they're trying to cancel him. You know, they're not involving him in any of the – they still put him in movies and stuff, but, like, as he was saying, like, he doesn't get invited to the after parties. He doesn't get invited to none of the, you know, stuff that all his coworkers are doing. And, you know, they're trying to use, what do you call it? Like, it's like a social tool to try to encourage him to, you know, go with their agenda. But I'm glad he's not doing that.
Agreed. And the funny thing is, he was celebrated for that in the 90s.
Right.
When they were screaming, fuck the police. Like, when he was saying that and going against, you know, being a part of counterculture and doing X, Y, and Z, celebrated, propped up. That's how he developed most of his wealth. And now that he continues that trend, he hasn't changed himself. He's just basically telling you, I was a person who bucked the system then. I'm a person who bucks the system now. It's just now the crowd, the group is agreeing with the system. And
yeah,
that
right.
is freaking terrifying.
Yeah, it's not good. I'm glad you said fuck the police, because I wasn't sure if I was allowed to cuss or not. I don't know if you listen to my show, but I was being really careful. Like, I know I'm going to slip up here and cuss.
Dude, yeah. Language is language. That's your
I
First
know.
Amendment right.
Yeah,
brother.
But...
curse all you feel.
I did a swap cast with another guy, and I cussed so much he couldn't even... He basically just didn't air it, because none of his shows have any cussing, you know what I mean? But it's cool, man. I was just making sure, and now we know what we know, so...
Yeah, and I'm a person who's... like, I'm pretty loose with my language. I don't necessarily curse all the time, because I've been trying to work on it, because I'm trying not to curse in front of my son.
Right.
Because
right.
I want him to be able to, I want him to develop that on his own. I don't want him to be his first word. I don't want his first word to be daddy or papa, and then his second word to be fuck.
Right,
know?
Right. So, yeah.
I try to limit it around him for that, but my wife is the same way. We both talk like sailors, so we got to work on it.
Yeah. It's funny, because did you watch that Ice Cube interview yet?
Yes, I have.
So he had, Tucker Carlson asked him, like, he was asking about that song, Fuck the Police, and he's like, well, how do you feel now? And he's like, pretty much the same. I thought that was funny, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a person that, I like someone who's true to themselves. Like, you had mentioned before how people are, like, most of Reddit are their bots or just, like, basically insurgents. Or I wouldn't use the term insurgents, I'll say they're government agents. The funny thing is, when I look at social media, especially like if you look at videos on YouTube, it's difficult at times to figure out what's an actual video of something happening versus someone creating a reenactment for views, you know, and like that is the scary part for me, are people playing a character versus who they actually are out in the world. And to me, that's troublesome, because kids now, they see television, they see a screen, and they associate that with reality. Right. And when you have someone pretending to be, you know, so far left that they can't understand the middle or anyone on the right, then you have a kid who sees that, especially a younger child, like 12, I want to say like 9 to 18, you're going to have those kids come out and they're going to think that that's gospel, and they're going to act like it's true. Right. I'm not sure if you're familiar with, there's a guy from the Manosphere. His name is Sneeko. Are you familiar with him at all?
He's from where?
The Manosphere, like basically the red pill community of, you know, traditional tradcon, traditional conservative men and things of that nature.
No. I mean, what platform is he? I've never heard of him.
He's on Rumble now. He's most likely not going to be a guy that you're interested in. For myself, I came across him because I used to listen to a guy, Kevin Samuels. But I came across this guy, Sneeko, and him and Andrew Tate kind of run hand in hand. I'm pretty sure you've heard of Andrew Tate, correct?
Yeah, I'm not 100% on him because of the way he came, the way he got where he got. You know, if you want to talk about masculinity and all that, I mean, he could, maybe he regrets it, but he was like basically like running a, you know, what are these websites where the girls try to seduce men for money?
Yeah, the
webcam girls,
webcamming OnlyFans. Yeah. Yeah, he was doing that, and he was basically pimping on there.
Yeah,
and
he was a pimp.
Yeah, I don't agree with either of those two. Like, I'll be completely clear. Like, I don't mess with them at all. Some of the content that I watch crosses over and like discusses or makes fun of or kind of dissects them and how they act. Basically, these are two people who play a role.
Exactly.
And that guy, Sneeko, he was at an airport, and these like 9 and 12 year olds run up to him, and they're like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, fuck the women, fuck the women." I'm like, and he's like, "No, no, no, not that, guys, not that. We love everybody." They're like, "Okay, but fuck the transgenders, fuck the gays," and I'm like, "These kids don't know half of what they're saying."
Yeah, and man, it's like, that's a shame.
I agree, and it's like what they're doing is, you have the left, you have the right, and then online you have like the far left and then you have the far right. And then what they're doing is they're taking these kids and they're putting them in spaces that's going to be dangerous for them. These are kids that are impressionable, their minds are open, and then they're going to be put in a space to where they become dangerous. And the people on the left are doing the exact same thing. So you create these two tribes of, I'm on this side and you're on this side, and we can't agree. We can't have a discussion. We have to argue. We have to fuss. We have to fight. And I mean, it's insane to me. Actually, where I live in Tujunga, there was they had counter protesters on either side. Like, one side had the pro-Trump protesters. This was during 2020. And the other side had the, you know, the anti-Trump protesters. And the scary thing is the people in the community, because it's small, they pretty much know each other. We see each other at the grocery store. We see each other at the local bars. But you had people coming in from outside of the city that were coming in and just starting fights, getting arrested, throwing shit at people. And that evaporated any chance at conversation. Yeah. You had people coming in who were plants, causing ruckus, causing trouble. And this, I remember when it happened and everything had shut down, my wife and I were at home, and this is maybe 7-8 blocks from us. You know, the good thing is we're kind of off in the mountain, and I'm just like, man, I am literally at work right now, sitting down typing because we were working from home, with a gun on my lap. I'm like, why? This is America. I should not be doing this shit. Right. I don't live in the hood anymore. You know, this isn't right.
I think one side is like being funded to do that. I don't want to like pick sides, but I mean, George Soros is paying for like Antifa and BLM to come in from out of town to these events. Yep. But you got people like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and, you know, whatever some of the other ones are. I'm not so sure they're being funded, but it's just people that are like, all right, I'm sick and tired of this bullshit. Let's go to California and But I mean, most people don't have time to be traveling around doing that shit because we're working. You know what I mean? I don't think some of these Soros funded people are working. I hate to say it, but a lot of them don't work. So they're young enough that they're still living with their parents or whatever. You know, and that's what I see going on. I could be wrong about, it's not going to be 100% of them, you know, but a lot of them I think are doing that.
I'd agree. I mean, there were posts. I want to say this was 2020, and I have screenshots of them because I was shocked. There were screenshots on Craigslist and like job sites where they were looking for protesters.
Oh, yeah, I do remember seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, and these people were getting paid like $25-$30 an hour, and it's like, yeah, they're going to listen to you, especially if they're kids, because yeah. Kids have never gotten paid that much. Kids don't know that what to do with that money. Oh, you need to go to California and you live in some small town? Oh, of course I'll go to California. Of course I'll do what you say to do. And then kids are, you know, more likely and more prone to have those bursts and those fits of violence because they don't understand the repercussions of it, or at least a lot of kids don't have an opportunity to understand the repercussions of violence. And, you know, so they go out there and commit it.
That's the other thing, man. When I first got out of the Army, I started working in the union in, like, 95. And people would fight at work all the time. If you talk some shit, you would get punched in the mouth. And then you would just go back to work. You know, somebody come break it up, and you just go back to work. Now, if you hurt someone's feelings, you're liable to get marched out the door, you know, lose your job. That's another issue that these young people, because they've never had their ass whooped. So that's one of the reasons they act that way.
Yep. I mean, if you look at any kind of march or any kind of protest, if people are peacefully protesting, I don't give a damn what they're talking about. You can walk around with a swastika for all I care. But when it comes to you're standing 4 feet or 3 inches away from someone's face and you're screaming at them, you're yelling at them, it's like, yeah, you've never been hit in the face.
Exactly.
Like you've never had your teeth knocked out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, for myself, it's funny. I had a conversation with another guest on this exact topic, and we were talking about kind of like PTSD. We were talking about a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And for myself, I've never been in any kind of armed services, but I grew up in a very violent area, a very violent city. And I realized that I was suffering from effects of PTSD because literally on a 4th of July, when my now wife, when we were just dating, we were in the house watching a movie, and a neighbor behind us, because you're not supposed to have fireworks, but everyone has fireworks, like let some fireworks off. And they were like the black cats, the little ones that you light and they pop, 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 and they flash like gunfire. Like, literally, they threw him over into our, because we were in a townhouse, they threw him over into our little backyard area. And, like, these things started going off, and I literally flipped. I lost my shit. Like, I got down, I pulled her down, and, like, we're crawling over up the stairs to get to the safe. And then, like, I'm literally walking around outside with a 12-gauge, and I'm like, and my wife's like, what are you doing? It was just fireworks. I'm like, it wasn't. And I'm like, holy shit. This is not a good look. I was like, this is how someone gets gunned down by the police. I was like, let me take my ass back in the house.
Same thing happened to me, man, with my next door neighbor. I got a big ass picture window in the front room, and I was drinking that night too. And it was just getting to be bedtime. You know, I had to work the next day. And he shot one off, and it, for whatever reason, it went, it was kind of a dud, but it didn't go as high as he wanted it to go, and it kind of flared out right in front of my picture window and popped, like it basically shook the window. And I'm just like, all right, what the fuck's going on? So I go outside, and he's standing in my front yard, in the middle of my front yard. So I thought he was like standing in my yard shooting off fireworks, and I'm like, what the fuck you doing? And I started walking towards him. He just kind of started like walking away and kind of scurrying back to his yard. And I was so pissed off, I couldn't sleep. So I took the day off of work the next day, and I waited for him to come out to go to work to find out what the hell was going on. And then turned out he was trying to pick up the expended firework out of my yard, when I walked outside, you know. But now they think I'm fucking nuts, so that's the end of that relationship pretty much. We don't talk to each other too much. So that's just the way it is.
That's funny that the relationship ended because he couldn't just say I'm sorry. Literally, that was, hey, my bad, the firework did this. I was actually trying to do a solid and clean it out. My bad, I'm sorry. Like, sorry is kind of lost nowadays, and I think it's because people kind of lose that experience with other human beings, and they kind of create this idea in their head about how someone is, and then they don't allow that person to ever get outside of that role that they created in their head, which is why I think people throw around the word, like, you're racist, you're sexist, you're a chauvinist. They throw those words around so freely, not understanding limiting they are.
It's way too freely because, like, who was this guy that was running in California against Newsom, the black guy, Elder?
Larry Elder. Yeah.
How can you? And they're going to call it, they were calling him like a white supremacist or something like that, weren't they?
Yeah.
You want to talk about some backward ass shit.
Central.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like just because his opinion's different. And if you, and like the crazy part is, people then don't listen to what he's actually saying. It just becomes like muck throwing, like they used to do back in political races. There's no actual, like, content to what anyone's saying nowadays. You know, I saw a story they did on YouTube where they took quotes from previous presidents and they played them. I think it was primarily Biden and Trump, as well as Clinton was in there as well. They were like, okay, who is this quote from? And then, like, all the most racist shit that was said all came from Joe Biden or Clinton.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. Yeah, but, man.
He's the guy that can literally be on TV on a black show and say, well, if you don't vote for me, you sure ain't black. No one bats an eye to that, you know? No one thinks that's racist as fuck.
That was only, what, 3 or 4 years ago, but, I mean, from that time to now, it's almost like he was a different person back then because he almost kind of knew what he was talking about. He don't know what the hell he's talking about anymore. It's crazy.
He's fumbling around. You know, they had to change the stairway so he'd stop falling.
Did you see where he was awarding that one guy with the Medal of Honor and he just kind of walked off and the guy's just standing there? Like, I felt so bad for that old dude, man. Like, he's just standing there by himself. None of Biden's handlers are helping, you know, trying to help him or tell him what to do. So he's just standing there. I'm like, man.
Yeah, and something that's supposed to be one of the greatest moments and achievements in this man's life got turned into one of the most awkward situations, you know?
Yeah.
I trip out on that because you have that word, like, racism being tossed around. And then you have, like, the Zelensky in Canada, where, like, they're all giving this old war veteran a standing, rousing ovation. And then he fought the Russians in World War II. And I guess no one thought, well, if the Russians were a part of the Allies and this guy was fighting the Russians, would that make him a Nazi? You know?
What about the Azov Battalion?
Oh, shit, man.
I mean, now they're trying to, now they're trying to change the meaning of what a swastika is. These lefties are literally fighting. They're calling us Nazis, but they're literally fighting for it to happen again. They want the government to be in complete control of us, which is how it happened the first time. You know?
I agree. Do you happen to watch any First Amendment auditors on YouTube?
No, I don't watch a lot of, like I said, I usually just listen to music out there, but I don't know why that popped up. I mean, maybe because of the music I listen to. I listen to, like, a lot of patriotic music and stuff like that. So I don't know. But it popped up, and I wanted to watch it and see what he had to say. It was a pretty good interview. So do you have, like, when you do this show, do you do both sides, or, like, sometimes you have lefties on here, or?
Yeah, I have everyone on, because the way I look at it is everyone's entitled to their opinion. And like I had, and the good thing is I have, there's been two or three, but those people were like ill. Like they were ill. But most of the time I've never had like a major disagreement. I've never been able to, or not been able to, I've never had to say, well, your opinion's shit, kick someone off the show or anything like that. Because like I'm open to it. Like, I mean, for me, like I have liberal as well as, I have left as well as right leaning ideas. It's just when it comes to the government and society, I'm very conservative. When it comes to if someone wants to be trans, someone wants to be gay, you do you. I don't care. I'm not sleeping with you. You know.
Yeah.
Like you go do your own thing.
No, I don't care about that either. But I do think they should leave it out of the schools and leave the kids alone until they are old enough to figure it out on their own.
Oh, that is a completely different conversation. Yeah. I agree. Like when it comes to, I don't think you should have a drag queen reading the kids, just like I don't think you should have strippers reading to kids, just like I don't think you should have sex workers or adult content creators reading to kids, you know, whether it's straight or gay. That's how I look at that. I mean, and in terms of if someone wants to wear a dress, I don't give a shit. You're in America. You can wear what you want to wear. I don't agree with it, but I'm also not going to beat you over the head for it, and I'll stand up for your right to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's been going on since I was a kid, but we just called them cross-dressers, and I still call them that, unless I know for a fact, I'm still going to call them a cross-dresser. I mean, that's just the way that's the way it was when I was a kid, and I'm not going to, that's the other thing that I don't like. They're trying to, like, shift language, you know, like, they play these word games, let me think, there's an example, I can't think of it right now, but the cross-dresser thing turned into tranny or transsexual, but they're not really a transsexual unless they go get surgery, you know?
Correct.
If you just put on a dress, you're just a cross-dresser. I mean, I know that might hurt some people's feelings, but that's just a cold, hard truth. That's the way it is.
Yeah, the way I look at it is if you put on a dress, let's say you're a guy, you put a dress on, you're a guy in a dress.
Right.
And you know, that's just how I see it. Like, especially like if you look like a dude, Dave Chappelle did this in one of his stand-ups where he's like, there's a guy in a dress who was passing out and he's like, is he okay? And then everyone got mad and they're like, is she okay? And he's like, well, can you let her know her nuts are hanging out?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the way I look at it is like if someone, like for example, if someone says, hey, my name is Joe, or hey, my name is Fox, and you want to be addressed as Fox, I'll address you as Fox. But if you say my name is Fox and I'm a woman, I'm going to say, well, Fox, I will address you as Fox. I'm not going to acknowledge you're male or female. I will just address you as Fox.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had several. I work at a big plant. I'm on strike right now. I'm in the UAW. But there was one guy that he worked super close to me, like on the next team. So, but he was kind of goofy, and I never really and he had a mustache when I started working with him, all right? So, next thing you know, they say he's going on vacation for a week, and the union came around. They're like, all right, look, when Jerry comes back, he's going to be Jerry Lynn. And if anybody gives him any shit, there's a good chance you're going to lose your job, you know. And so I just told him, like, look, I didn't talk to him when he had a mustache, so it doesn't matter to me because I just don't talk to people like that, you know. And if you just mind your own business, and I've had that happen too, like if I don't like somebody, they're like, well, how come you talk to these people but you don't talk to me? It's like, if you got a problem with me minding my own fucking business, I can't help you, and there's no way I'm going to get in trouble for it either, because if it ever comes to that, my God, it's really out of control, you know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. Like it's funny because you didn't talk to him before, and then they're saying, well, why don't you talk to him now? It's like, well, because I didn't talk to him before.
Right.
You know, there's no rocket science to that.
he was one of these guys that was into this, you go to these parties where you dress up like Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
And this was when he was still considered, yeah. So, yeah, no, we don't have anything in common, so you can just stay over there and I'll stay over here, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I agree, and it's sad that that mentality, that mindset is now seen as something that is, you know, now you're being sexist or you're being a bigot or you're trying to exclude someone, when before the exact same person, regardless of what they called themselves, you didn't associate with them. So, I mean, I don't understand why it's like you're kind of placed in a situation to where you're forced to do something if you don't want to do it. Like, you didn't want to do it before, so what makes you want to do it now?
Right.
Yeah, that's the scary part. You know, you get into a point to where if you have your own mindset, you're stoic, you're masculine, you're setting yourself, and you're like, well, this is just something I don't want to do. This is something I don't want to associate with because I don't think we'll have anything in common. If that's your mindset, just like that other person's mindset is they want to wear a dress or they want to be called Jerry Lynn versus Jerry, that's their prerogative, just like it's your prerogative not to associate with them. You're not out there writing things on their locker or slashing their tires or threatening them with violence. Yeah. You're just ignoring them like you did before.
But at the same time, I mean, there's been people that I thought were like super goofy and then they turned out being all right. You know, it's just one of them things, man. Some people have the personality where there's certain days I just don't want to talk to anybody, you know, and if I haven't already talked to you before, I'm definitely not going to talk to you today. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
yeah, man. I mean, we're all different. Everybody's different. And, sometimes you think you won't get along with somebody and you wind up getting along with them. That's just life, man. You know?
Agreed, but it's not, at that point, it's not forced on you.
Like, right.
I find it funny that you'll have an agenda that's out there where they say, you know what, you need to be accepting and you need to be all-inclusive. And then you say, well, I just don't care. Well, we're not going to accept you and we're not going to include you. It's like, wait, I thought we were talking about being all-inclusive.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, man, you're out there right in the middle of it out there. I mean... Oh, a lot of people are leaving California too now.
The sad part, though, is the people that are leaving are just taking that California mindset and they're taking it to places like Austin.
Yeah.
It's like they're not going to Austin because they want to incorporate those ideas and values. They're going to Austin to kind of migrate the California mindset there, and then they get mad if someone there doesn't accept their point of view on life. And it's like, well, they were there first and this is how they feel already. You don't have to go to there to try to change anyone. Like you mentioned, California is in the middle of it. I actually, and it's funny because like my wife and I, West Hollywood's like a very big area where it's like a lot of just like gay, like it's open, it's gay, transgender, all that stuff. And we used to go out there because we used to watch UFC fights. And there was a bar out there that played the fights that was a gay bar, but they literally had 2-for-1 drinks. They had a huge TV and no one went with no cover because it was UFC fights.
That's weird. They would do that at a gay bar. It's kind of, I don't know, but so you found it and you took advantage of, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, my brother-in-law is homosexual. He's been with his partner since before my wife and I got together. He's a really cool guy. Like it's funny. Like I say this and it comes off wrong, but I don't mean it that way. It's like you'd never know unless you know he told you.
Right. But
the way I look at it is he's a person. I don't sleep with him. I'm not gonna sleep with him. So he can go do whatever the hell he feels like. You know, he's a cool dude. We click on a bunch of different stuff. And, like, in terms of going over there, like, I've met some of the coolest people over there who were just nice dudes who were watching the fight, and they knew the fight game, so they were down to talk about it. But anytime we went to a bar or anything around where we live or anywhere else that had it that was, like, let's say a straight bar, literally it would be so packed. You're sitting in the back. The food was shitty. And it would be, like, $12, $13 for a fucking Coors.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And that place, it's called... And it's been years. the Fiesta Cantina. They had margaritas that were 2-for-1. They had beer that was 2-for-1, and they had a really good draft selection, at least from what I recall. And I go there, and like, to me, I just did not give a shit, because I'm not in that community, so they can exist and do whatever they feel like is kind of how I look at it.
Hey, I'd go, and I get what you're saying about it. I mean, so these flamboyant gay people, I mean, some of them are flamboyant, maybe just naturally from when they were little, you know, like, you know, sometimes little kids, you know, they start out that way and they just evolve into that. But I think a lot of them are just way over the top, and it doesn't just go for gay people, right? So if somebody's being phony, they're being phony, and people don't like that, especially, like, I don't want to just say conservative people, because I'll bet there's people on both sides. If you're fake, there's nothing likable about that. And if you're just going over the top and being ridiculous, nobody wants to see that shit, right?
Oh, I agree.
So I get what you're saying. Like, if it was these gay people that were just coming to the club to watch the fight, and they're just acting normal and they just happen to be gay, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But this fake shit is what drives me crazy. It doesn't just go for gay people. I mean, it's like a guy I work with. He's probably like close to my age. He's in his late 40s, and I've caught him lying like 3 or 4 times, like trying to impress me about shit. And I'm just like, it's got to the point where everybody just knows I hate him, and now I can't even talk to him. It's like, I can't deal with that. I'm too old to deal with bullshit anymore. I have no time for your bullshit. You know what I mean?
I agree wholeheartedly. I think for myself, I've always been old, even when I was young. Like, I think about like high school for me. I grew up in an area. I grew up like a couple blocks from where Rodney King got his ass whooped. Yeah, it's not a great area. But my mom was like, you're not going to go to junior high around here. You're not going to go to high school around here. So she got me bussed out to the school. Like, Cleveland, it was a school that was in Reseda. Like, down the street, they filmed, like, Karate Kid, and now they do Cobra Kai over there. So to me, it was a completely different atmosphere. Like, I remember being there and meeting the first Armenian I had ever met, and I was like, well, aren't you just white? Like, what are you? And then, like, having that culture shock, and then seeing the kids over there that were, like, from these affluent areas, and, like, they were trying to pretend or play to be gangster. And I'm like, you just don't understand the severity of the shit you're doing.
Right.
You're coming here, you're wearing all red, or you're wearing all blue, and, you know, you're Crip walking or you're blood walking because it's cool and it's trendy. It's what people are doing. It's like, that shit will get you killed. And it's I can't relate to a person that does that, because it's like, one, I never lived it, because I've always seen gangbanging as a nonprofit organization, but I grew up seeing it and understanding the repercussions of doing it. So to see other people playing it, it's like putting on a clown suit. And that's I kind of liken that to the, if someone's flamboyant because that's how they've always been, then hey, be you, just be respectful. Right. And if someone is being flamboyant because they're kind of putting on a caricature of a woman and like acting like it because they think that this is what's cool or what's hip or what's popular, that I don't agree with, because I don't agree with fake people in general, regardless of what they do in the bedroom, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point. I was trying to think of an example of, you know, a flamboyant gay person on the right side, which, you know, like you said, somebody that's acting like they're a gangbanger, but then if they actually got in the middle of it, they'd, you know, curl up in the fetal position. That's exactly what I was talking about. I was trying to think of another good example, but yeah, that too. I mean, anything fake is just, we don't have time for the bullshit. You know what I mean?
I agree. I do actually have an example of a guy that's conservative and super flamboyant. Milo Yiannopoulos. You familiar with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got himself in trouble, right?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Like, this is a gay man who's conservative, which is fine. But this is a gay man who's married, who then claims, well, I've prayed away the gay, and I'm no longer gay. But he's still married to a man. And apparently they don't have sex, or they don't kiss or show any affection to each other. They're just married now. And it's like, to me, it's like, if you're going to present bullshit to me, you don't need to package it and tell me that it's a gift.
Yeah,
it's just bullshit, you know?
Yeah. Basically, the money was running out. So he had to... He had to come back crawling and try to find a way to get back to that money source that he had. And I don't think it's ever gonna get back to where it was, but he's giving it a shot anyway, you know.
And this is a guy who like does have issues with drugs. He does have issues with over drinking because he's out, he's getting into fights. It's like the Nick Fuentes guy who claims to be a white nationalist. And it's like, but you hang around with Kanye West and you hang around with like all these black guys, you're on these shows and you're going to tell me you're a white nationalist? It's like, you can have pride in your culture. Like, you should, like, everyone should have pride in their culture, and it shouldn't be a bad word to say you have white pride. But it's like, if you're going to sit here and you're going to promote these ideas that you obviously don't believe in, you're just saying it because there's money to be made. Like, that's bullshit to me. And like, I just don't agree with that at all.
Right. And I hate to keep bringing up Ice Cube, but like I said, I just watched it last night. But it's like he brought up a good point where he said some of the people that I can't stand in my life are black, and some of my favorite people are white. It just comes down to who you click with. You know what I mean? And that's so true. And these people on the right are doing this. What do you call it? Identity politics, just as bad as the other side is. You know what I mean? So,
because they're all from the same tree. Like when it comes to politics, it's like you have one person promoting a message and another person promoting the opposite message. They ignore everything in between and they just kind of create these two tribes. That's why I think anytime it becomes like an organization to where it's, you know, propped up or they're starting to get paid and make money, it just becomes fake. Because even if, like, the Proud Boys, for example, when the Proud Boys were first forming and the Three Percenters and the Oath Keepers, I was like, okay, we have a lot in line. We're kind of on point. And then once the money started getting involved and you had people wearing these costumes of, like, they're dressing up and they're, I got my fatigues on or I got my vest on. And it's like, now we're at a point to where, like, okay, you guys are starting to bullshit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then, like, that's the part that it's like, now it's like, what you were about, it's like, was that something that was real? Or were you an organization that was created in order to just keep putting in that divide between the American people and populace and thinking that we all hate each other?
Yeah. No, I actually got involved in some of that up around this area. And, you know, some of them were cool and some of them were just fucking idiots. Yeah. I mean, it's just like any other group, man. I only talk to a couple of them now, and I ain't got no association with any of them. But when they first came around, I'm like, all right, I like drinking. I like fighting. It sounds like, you know what I mean? But
sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
No, it's like you have that.
I'm more of a lone wolf, man. I just try to stay together. Once you start getting involved in some of these groups, man, you can get carried away just like what we were talking about earlier. So it's just better to, you got to tiptoe into it and figure out what's what.
Agreed. It's funny. I know we're at the 1 hour mark, so we'll get ready to wrap it up, but I'll end it with this. Actually I'll say my last piece and then I'll hear yours. The funny thing is for me, the journey to becoming more masculine or to accept my masculinity without being worried about what anyone else was going to say or think, that really started for me tremendously when my wife and I started talking about having a child. And then now that we have a child, it's a major reason that I'm actually doing this podcast to have these conversations, because I'm hoping that this conversation can reach one person that can make them say, you know what, well, maybe that side isn't all bad. Maybe I should be a little bit more open to hearing what they're saying, because there are people over there that are willing to hear what I'm saying. because I want this world to be a little bit, just a little bit better for my child by the time he gets older versus looking at this rabbit hole that it's going down now.
Yeah.
So I just really hope we get to a point to where masculine, feminine, whatever, people can just be people and people accept other people for their beliefs as long as it's not harming or infringing on anyone else.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. The infringing part, I feel like that goes on. I don't like getting political and stuff, but the infringing part is a lot less coming from the right side. But I mean, it does in some areas like abortion and stuff like that. But I mean, if you look a little deeper into it, you find out about how shady Planned Parenthood is, but that's a whole nother episode. But I mean,
you know, if you ever do that episode, count me in. Margaret Sanger and her eugenics policies and politics.
And you know, please, Bill, if you ever do that, you know, Bill Gates' dad was a big part of Planned Parenthood.
Very large part. Yeah. Very large investor too. Yes. And who continues to champion it? Bill Gates.
Oh yeah. Depopulation. That's what it's. I've talked about him so many times. On so many episodes, it's kind of a joke between me and Julio because I was trying to talk because I was deployed to Haiti and I talk about Haiti way too much and I talk about Wernher von Braun way too much. Now it's getting to be Bill Gates I talk about a lot too, so it's like kind of a joke where he kind of tells me to stop talking about this shit. You know what I mean? But yeah,
he probably doesn't want that house falling down on him. That's why,
yeah, right.
You know, like this guy, but, it's funny because it's scary when it comes to those guys.
I think I am going to air this one, so just to make sure that my listeners heard what your show was one more time.
Oh, for sure. My name's Larry. The show that I do is called Civil Rhetoric. The entire point of the show is to have an open discussion civilly. Whether we agree or disagree, we can both agree that we're all human. And that, I mean, that gives us an opportunity for understanding. I don't need to accept what someone else does, but I think it's nice to understand what someone else does.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was a good talk.
No, I agree. And Fox, do you have anything you want to plug? Plug your show, any socials, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, we're just conspiracy soldiers about anywhere you can find podcasts. And we're on Instagram as Conspiracy Soldiers. I'm not going to do my email and all that because it's not really necessary. If somebody wants to listen, they can listen once or twice if they like it, and that's about it. So
I gotcha. And anyone looking to find me, you can find all my information at xiozen.com. That's chosen, spelled xiozen.com. All the information's there, everything I have from homesteading to crafting as well as DIY projects if you need help in figuring out how to fix something at the house or how to build something at the house. Oh, I'll have it all there.
That's cool. Yeah. I think you might have sent me something then and I didn't even know it was you. That XIOZen. I didn't. Did you email me something? That sounds so familiar.
You might have actually got it because on the actual Reddit post, I put XIOZEN, and then also when I emailed you, it's from Larry at XIOZEN.com. So Larry@chosen.com.
All right, long as I didn't miss it.
No, you got it, brother.
All right, cool, man. This was a good one.
I agree.
Yeah,
have a conversation.
Yeah, we'll get back together again, maybe one of these times.
Definitely looking forward to linking up, especially if you go over the Planned Parenthood stuff.
Because, oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's when you talk about it, it's scary.
Right. We can plan that out then for the future, maybe a couple weeks out or something like that.
Yeah, you let me know. I'm still working from home ever since the whole 2020 debacle.
Oh,
so,
man.
I can make time.
All right, man. Cool. Have a good one.
You have a good rest of your morning.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.